You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
A little soundtrack from the movie The Departed here in honor of me being at WGBH up in Boston. That's Dropkick Murphys shipping up to Boston, which is what we're doing for the next couple of days. And continuing our conversation now on Mitt Romney. The Romney name is big in Utah, where Mitt Romney, of course, was behind the Winter Olympic Games in that state. The name is big in Michigan, where George, as you just heard, was governor back in the 1960s. In Massachusetts, of course, where George's son, Mitt, and the current presidential candidate, was governor in the first decade of this century. Father and son have both set their sights on the presidency, George unsuccessfully in 1968 and Mitt unsuccessfully in 2008. The Romneys aren't exactly a political dynasty for that reason, of course, but they are a prominent presence in American politics, to be sure. So is there Romney magic in the American political scene, or a Romney curse in American politics? Journalist Ronald Scott joins us. He's the author of Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. Ron, thanks for coming into the studios here.
Thank you for having me.
So how much does Mitt Romney want to be president is my first question.
Well, that's a double-edged question, and I'm sure there are two answers. You'd think at this point that he's going out of his way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory with his losses in Nevada and Colorado, not Nevada, excuse me, Colorado and Michigan and Minnesota and Missouri.
Missouri, yeah.
And then on the other hand, I think that long ago his dad, when he failed to win the presidency in 1968, loaded the next generation burden on Mitt's shoulders to say, and now you take over from here, son. And that's been a fairly driving force in his life up till now.
And this was a moment, a sort of pivotal moment for Mitt Romney. He's over in France. His father is gearing up to run for the presidency. And he was interviewed by Lou Gordon, a Detroit reporter, back in 1967. This is the end of August 1967. And he made this comment, which pretty much ended his campaign at that point.
Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on... Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So where do you think it goes?
What?
Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friends.
All right, that, of course, is Mitt Romney speaking at the Iowa State Fair in 2011. But let's put it back-to-back with George Romney running back in 1967 when he was interviewed on August 31st. Listen.
Well, you know, when I came back from Vietnam, I just had the greatest brainwashing that anybody can get.
By the generals?
When you go over to Vietnam, well, not only by the generals, but also by the diplomatic corps over there.
Now, it sounds like a reasonable comment these days, but back in 1968, to say you were brainwashed by the generals and the diplomats in Vietnam was a deal breaker.
Yeah, we were just coming out of that era where we were all attuned to the fact that prisoners of war had been brainwashed in North Korea and so on and so forth. So to use that terminology set off his opponents in the Republican Party, and it played well, who fed the media over and over again, and it really did scuttle his presidency. And it was an argument that I happened to be a fan of George Romney at that particular point and a big fan. And when I went to Time, my first boss there was one of the guys who had ground him down and prevented him from getting the presidency. And we used to argue about whether that was a good statement or whether it wasn't. I viewed it as being metaphorical and certainly in sync with what the young people of the nation had been saying for at least 3-4 years.
Well, that's so much a narrative of these Romneys, putting the statements in context that seem to be ill-advised. But I'm wondering if Mitt Romney believes that within him, in some sort of, it's too much to call it a curse, but that there's something about the Romney family that contains within it the seeds of their own demise politically.
Well, I think that probably is one of the reasons why he's been so reticent about sharing who he really is, what his family is really like, not just with me, but with reporters across the country. And the way he dealt with that heckler in Iowa, where he just didn't say, I disagree with you, and where he right. had to grind away right. at this young kid.
Corporations are people, too.
And his point was a valid point, that the corporations do employ people and provide jobs. But why you would pick a fight with a heckler in a crowd is with the cameras rolling is an astonishing kind of thing.
You know, Mitt Romney didn't grow up in Grand Rapids, where he's going to be for a political rally later this week. But I did grow up in Grand Rapids, and that's the city of Gerald Ford, the quintessential Republican centrist. Yet it is now a center of the Tea Party and the evangelical right wing of the Republican Party. The Michigan that he's campaigning in has changed radically for Mitt Romney. Is he? Does he grasp that?
Well, it's really interesting. He has run right since leaving Massachusetts, and for reasons that are not clear to me, because the far right of the Republican Party is not the group that's going to eventually endorse him and give him the nomination. He's more of a centrist kind of candidate, but he pretends to be this right winger, and he's not there. Why he's going to Grand Rapids, I don't know.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me, because his base is in a more moderate area of the state. I think he'll do well in Michigan, by the way, but I think these latest numbers probably reflect some of that Tea Party evangelical overreaction to him.
What do the people in Massachusetts remember about Mitt Romney as a governor, as a politician? Is he a standout character? I mean, this is the state of towering political figures, the Kennedys.
Well, the answer to the question is he won pretty handily when he came back from the Olympic Games and set about to cut the budget, and he did it very quickly. And then he began to run for president about 2 years into his administration. In fact, when he was running for governor here, it was so obvious that he was going to run for president eventually that he had to actually pledge that he would serve out his full 4 years, which a pledge that he had to reiterate along the way. So for the first 2 years, I think Massachusetts people, Democrats and Republicans, were pretty pleased with his management budget-cutting things. And then he began to run for president.
And they mostly remember him as a candidate. Finally, the really interesting thing you write about in your book, before we go, is his Mormonism could help him as a candidate, but he doesn't choose to speak of it.
He doesn't, and it's really unfortunate. We're talking about his relationship to poor people. His record as a bishop and as a stake president meant that he really had to deal in a very hands-on way with poor people in Massachusetts, and he did so, and he did so very effectively. But he doesn't talk about that, why he doesn't, I don't know.
It's a really interesting dilemma. Ronald Scott is the author of Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. Thanks so much.
Thank you.